Hello, well, it's time to shake out your aprons and your pinnies because it's At the Table with Gail. I'm Peter Fleming, and Gail, of course, is our resident chef. Hello, Gail.
Hello there, Peter. Now, what's on your rum?
Well, look, Gail, before you start, there's something I've got to say to you.
Yeah.
I was reading in the newspaper this week that Paul Hollywood, who you don't seem to know, but he's the baker host of the Great British Bake Off.
Uh-huh.
He's worth £14 million, nearly $30 million. So I've got a question for you. Is this the sort of money that you celebrity chefs command? I'm sitting here on my pension. Yeah, not sitting on it exactly.
But same.
Oh, so you're not.
Gee whiz.
You're not worth $30 million.
I did hear from somebody that they like our program because it's very clear and precise. And easy to follow. That was a bit of feedback from
Simple. Yeah.
Shut up. Don't start making me laugh. Right.
Let's get on with
okay.
this. Over to you, dear.
Was that all in the recording?
Yeah. Yeah, the show's. We've been running 2 minutes.
Turn it off.
No, go on. You're right. That was just.
Were you talking about the millionaire?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought you had just turned it off and was talking to me.
No.
Sorry.
You will be on air.
Okay. I can't remember where you left off.
I'll sort this lot out somewhere later
okay.
on. Right, okay. I'll do that again then. Right, so you're not worth $30 million then, Gail?
No, I'm not. Yeah. I don't know whether I'd want $30 million anyway. I'm happy where I am.
Well, let me assure you, if you stumble across it and it drops in your bank account, you don't want it, give it to me.
Okay. What's on your apron this morning there, Peter? Big question mark? Right.
Probably, I don't know what I'm doing, I think.
Well, we're going to start off with pea, asparagus and mint soup. Very nice, easy one again, because I saw that it's got frozen peas in it, so I thought this is a nice quick one. So 50 grams of butter, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 3 spring onions or a half an onion chopped, 2 garlic cloves chopped, 1 bunch of asparagus, roughly chopped. Now, I thought about this, Peter, because, you know, we're very keen on sort of getting the tin asparagus.
Yes.
And I was just thinking, I don't think asparagus is actually seasonal at the moment.
In fact, this was pointed out to me by my wife. She said, why is she doing asparagus? It's not in season.
Well, there you are. There's the answer. Because I thought, well, we can use a can of asparagus, you know, as well.
Yep.
So we mustn't forget that. 1 medium potato peeled and cut into chunks, salt. 1 litre or 4 cups of chicken or vegetable stock. 2 cups of fresh or frozen peas. Small handful of mint chopped. 4 tablespoons of sour cream and a little bit of extra for serving. Cracked pepper and olive oil for drizzling. Now, in a large saucepan, melt the butter and oil together over a low to medium heat. Add the spring onions or your half an onion that you've chopped, garlic, asparagus, potato and half a teaspoon of salt. And I'm just going to break in there, Peter, because if you are using a tin, I don't think it's going to hurt to have the liquid with it because it'll just add to the soup. As far as I'm concerned, anyway.
And that's what Jamie Oliver says that. Tip it all in.
Yeah, tip it all in. So don't drain it. Cook gently, stirring over the heat for 5 minutes without colouring. Add the stock and bring to a boil. Simmer 12 to 15 minutes until the potato is tender. Add the peas and bring back to the boil. Remove from the heat. Add the chopped mint and use a stick blender to puree until smooth. A wonderful kitchen tool is a stick blender. Stir through the sour cream, then gently reheat the soup. Check the flavour, adding extra salt to taste and a generous twist of cracked pepper. Now serve that in bowls that have been warmed up, garnish with mint leaves and a drizzle of olive oil just over the top. And serve with an extra bit of sour cream on the side. Now, if you're going to stick this in the fridge, use it within 3 days of the preparation of it or freeze in portions in the freezer. And that's it.
And that's it. Oh, you stopped. Suddenly stopped.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. But simple. It's great because sounds nice, that's yeah. another one of our easy-to-do recipes, Peter.
Yeah, and asparagus and potatoes sort of together make a
Yeah,
a
well, I think
nice
the whole
mix.
Lot of that, asparagus, yeah. peas and potato and a little bit of mint. I'm sort of always sometimes a little bit careful about the mint because it's quite overpowering.
Yes.
So, and it doesn't say put minted peas in. But I a handful of small handful of mint. Well, I've got a big hand, so small handful of mint. You need to just be careful of that because I think it's really strong. So right. that's our first course, Peter. The soup.
Because I rambled on about Paul Hollywood, forgot to mention my sticky prune cake.
No, that's right, you didn't. Or me Can with I, my candy book cookies.
Shall we just nip in with
yes,
these
we will.
Before we go on to the next course? Right, well, I had a go at the sticky prune cake. And I did say the other couple of weeks about I do find it a bit irritating when you get a recipe and they go between different. So here you've got grams, millilitres, grams, millilitres, cups, and all these different things, teaspoonfuls. And so I'm afraid I went wrong with it because I halved the mixture because...
huge, oh, you did!
Huge,
oh, yeah.
I halved it, and it fitted in a nice loaf tin as a full loaf.
Oh,
right?
Good.
So even on half, and I went through halving, and I got to do grams of honey and grams of this and milliliters of that, and it came to two. There was 100 milliliters of olive oil. Then I went to the fridge door and looked at the conversion chart for cups. I thought that'll be a lot easier.
Oh.
And I went a bit wrong, and I put twice the amount of oil in that I should have done.
I think it cups 250, isn't it? Is it?
Yeah, about 237.
Yeah.
So in fact, I put way too much. I put nearly two half cupfuls in. So when I made it and I put the flour in, I thought, gosh, this is blooming sloppy. Did it all, put it in the oven, cooked it for the half an hour, tried it with a skewer, wet as anything. An hour later, well, after it had been in the oven.
Sorry. Yes.
It got a little bit dark brown, but it is cooked, and you've got a sample there, folks.
Well, it's
okay,
looked,
but
I
did
moist.
Make a mistake. I can put a photograph up on the website, but it's a bit looks as if it's been out in the sun.
Too long. Well, I thought a prune cake would be dark anyway.
Oh, it's dark, yeah, but
this is
darker. And the prunes that are on the top are a bit like stones. You think they were the... You think they were the stones out of the prunes, so not. But otherwise, a nice cake, but not one of my successes.
Oh, well, I look
really.
Forward to it. It's actually Peter's got it all wrapped up nicely in a piece of Glad wrap, and I looked at it and I thought, oh, that looks nice and moist. With a cup of oil, I guess it needs
should
be
moist
anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I've decided to make the candy cookies because it was nice and quick and. And I was, you know, running to a time schedule. So I made those and I didn't have any boiled sweets, which I'm going to give you the recipe later. I had some gummy bears in a jar. So I thought, oh, I'll put those on. They might stay like little teddy bears. And I put a couple of jelly beans and just for colour and put them in the oven. And 12 minutes later, I took them out because that was it. And I was a bit disappointed because it all sort of melted into one and basically they didn't look pretty. But the biscuits, I think, you know, the actual cookie itself is marvellous. And I actually didn't waste too much time. But anyway, I'm going to talk about those, but there won't be a photograph of those because, you know, they don't look nice, but I'm pretty sure they're going to taste good.
Well, you wouldn't call them a gummy bear candy because it's just a big splodge.
That's right.
It looks all right. It looks fine.
It's instead of icing, I guess. But anyway, getting on with our recipes. This one, pesto salmon and asparagus lasagna. So we've just hit a little bit on the asparagus today, but this looked lovely and it appeals to me. I quite rather like salmon. 2 tablespoons of vegetable oil, 200 grams of broccoli florets and the stalk chopped into bite-sized chunks, 250 grams of asparagus spears, and putting the whole lot in there, you know, everything trimmed and chopped to bite size. But basically, you could do the same here again. Use the asparagus in the dish. But in this case... I guess you could use a little bit of the liquid, but just be careful. Basically, 300 mils of creme fraiche, 160 grams of basil pesto, 450 grams salmon pieces, skinned and chopped into bite-sized chunks. Now, having said that, with the salmon, just look out because you really don't need high-end salmon for this. You know, you can find cheaper cuts for that. So don't go overboard with looking for the more expensive one, because that's not what we do. 2 tablespoons of milk, 4 to 6 fresh pasta lasagna sheets, and 30 grams of Parmesan cheese grated. Now, we had a discussion about this last session, didn't we, Peter, about lasagna sheets?
We did.
Yeah, and you were saying about it might be better to get the more expensive lasagna sheets.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's what I've been told.
Yeah, you
since.
Felt
and certainly
the
cheaper ones were, well, you couldn't really use them.
You're dried. Mm. Yeah, dried out. So heat the oil in a large frying pan over a medium heat. Add the broccoli and asparagus to the pan and cook for 3 minutes until lightly browned. Reduce the heat to low and add 270 mils of the creme fraiche and 140 grams of the pesto, reserving the rest for later. Stir to combine and simmer for 5 minutes until the sauce has thickened and is glossy. Add the salmon pieces and stir to fully coat with the sauce and simmer for 5 minutes. You may not need it, but the sauce is, if it's too thick, and add a splash of milk. So we've got 2 tablespoons there of milk, but no more than that. The salmon pieces might flake in the sauce, which is fine. You know, I think it's actually better if it sort of spreads itself out and everybody gets a bit of salmon instead of just the sauce. Preheat the oven to either 200 degrees Celsius or 180 fan. Cover the base of a 25 to 20 centimeter oven-proof dish with one of the lasagna sheets, cutting the sheet to fit your dish. Spoon over half of the pesto salmon. Repeat the above steps once more, finishing with a third layer of lasagna sheets. In a small bowl, combine the remaining creme fraiche and pesto, then spread this over the top of the lasagna sheet. Scatter over the Parmesan cheese. Now cook in a hot oven for 30 minutes or until the lasagna is bubbling and the cheese has just melted. Remove from the oven and let the lasagna cool for a few minutes before slicing and serving. So that is our dish.
Hey, that sounds nice.
It does sound very nice, actually. And, I love seeing lasagna in the oven when it's all bubbling and the cheese is melted and it's bubbling away.
Yeah.
It looks very inviting. But you need to let it cool before, you know, you get into it because it'll be very hot. But I think this is quite a nice one.
It sounds really nice to me. And I did catch on the beginning where you said the broccoli florets and stalk cut to bite-sized pieces. I don't know about you, but you just sort of had a habit. You cut – how much greenery do you throw away? And again, I go back to Jamie Oliver who was doing something. He said – you know, not just throw in the liquid out of a can of lentils and things or your asparagus. Mm. But he was talking about, you know, when you chop it up greens and cut them, use the stalks as well, particularly on broccoli, because it's got flavour and colour.
Well, funny that you should mention that, Peter, because last night I had some roast vegetables and I had broccoli. And I did sort of a bench cutting it up and didn't realise till I took it out and was eating it with my roast vegetables that I'd actually cut up the stalk as well. So I thought to myself, this looks like the stalk. I must have been away with the fairies or something. And I cut, but hey, it was fine.
You want to be careful if you start drifting away like that when you're chopping stuff up. You'll be losing your fingers.
But anyway, I did use the stalk. And I think I actually do. I usually cut just that little bit off the end. And then I use the stalk. Normally, if I'm doing soups or anything like that, I certainly don't throw it away.
No, I think perhaps I should use a bit more of it. That sounds really good. That's
so
excellent.
That's our lovely dish to take us to the break.
Yeah, 2 lovely dishes, and they're both talking about asparagus. So, what do you think I've chosen this week? Could it be a song about
asparagus?
You're absolutely right. Give the lady a prize. Listen to this one. It's quite a jolly one. It's I try to find always jolly ones. This is by a fellow called Johnny and the Jam Stands.
The Jam Stands?
Jam Stands. I'm sure that's what it is.
Oh,
Jam Stands.
Okay.
It is the asparagus song. You do have to listen. It's a it trips along nicely, but it's got some super words. So,
okay.
Concentrate.
I will be concentrating in the next 5 minutes.
And don't be too offended.
Oh, Mom, if you really care for us, you'd spare us from asparagus. Oh, Mom, you say you cherish us, then spare us from asparagus. It makes my taste bud bleed, and it gives me stinky feet. Oh, Mom, if you really care for us, please spare us from asparagus. Oh, Mom, it's more than kind of mean to make us eat lima beans. It's a whole lot more than kind of mean to insist we eat lima beans. They're bland and pasty texture, makes me squint with jerky gestures. Oh, Mom, it's more than kind of mean to make us eat lima beans. Mom says, what's all this fuss about? Hush up and eat your Brussels sprouts. Mom says, hey, what's all this fuss about? Sit down and eat your Brussels sprouts. Dad told us to pinch our nose and pretend they're donut holes. Well, Mom says, what's all this fuss about? Hush up and eat your Brussels sprouts. Care for us, you spare us from asparagus. Oh, Mom, you say you cherish us, then spare us from asparagus. It makes my taste buds bleed, and it gives me stinky pee. Oh, Mom, if you really care for us, please spare.
Well, a sentiment probably expressed by a lot of children: mother, spare us, don't make us eat asparagus.
Yeah, it's great. In fact, it's actually quite a good song because they mention Brussels sprouts and lima beans and all that sort of thing. So it's a mixed vegetable one.
Yeah, I better keep that on one side for all these varied recipes you come up with.
It's really good, really good. But we're going to start off this half, Peter, with lamb and yoghurt pie. And it looked actually quite appealing to me, and I haven't used the pastry for a long time, the phyllo, and I just thought this looks quite easy and not too complicated. So we're starting off with 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 2 medium onions finely chopped, 6 cloves of garlic crushed. Now, that's quite a bit of garlic, so I presume that it's going to,
be tasty.
Yeah, it'll be quite tasty. So if you want to reduce that because of your own personal taste, please do. 1 kilo of lamb mince, 2 teaspoons of ground cinnamon, 3 tablespoons of tomato paste, 2 lemons, grated zest and the juice, 2 teaspoons of salt, 1 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper, 1 cup of finely chopped parsley, 1 cup of fresh breadcrumbs, 70 grams of toasted pine nuts. Now, 12 sheets of phyllo pastry. I don't know how much pastry you get in a roll, but whatever it is, I think it would be sufficient. 12 sheets of phyllo is quite a bit, but I do love it because it has all that lovely layered effect. 100 grams of clarified butter or ghee, and which is clarified butter anyway. I think you can buy it in...
No, we always have a pot of ghee at the back of the fridge.
Do you?
For curries, yeah.
Oh, right. Mm. Is there quite a different taste? You know, that is clarified, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I don't know any other way that you could buy it apart from ghee.
It's a nice yellow colour.
Anyway, that's what it commands for this recipe.
I think it cooks better than butter because butter will burn, won't it?
Browns. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. 500 grams of unsweetened yoghurt. So to start off for our method, we're heating the oil in a large fry pan over medium heat. Add onion and garlic and cook until translucent. Add lamb and brown thoroughly, breaking up clumps with a wooden spoon as it cooks. Stir in the cinnamon, which is unusual, but it must complement other flavours going into this. Tomato paste, lemon juice, salt and pepper. Cook for 5 minutes, stirring occasionally. Remove from the heat and stir in the parsley, breadcrumbs and pine nuts and set aside to cool slightly. Preheat the oven to 180 degrees Celsius. Remove phyllo pastry from the packet and count out 12 sheets. Place the pastry on the bench and cover with a barely damp tea towel to prevent it drying out. And I thought that was a good little hint, actually, because I didn't know that. And if I'm using it again, I would do that, because once it dries out, phyllo, it starts to crack.
Not a thing I use much at all.
No. So it just does start to crack, you know, to crack at the edges. So that, I thought, was quite a good little hint. Brush one sheet of phyllo pastry lightly with melted butter. Place another sheet on top and brush with butter. Repeat until you have 6 sheets layered with butter. Grease a shallow tin and line the base and sides with the first 6 sheets of buttered phyllo pastry. Spread half of the lamb mixture evenly over the pastry in the tin. Top with a layer of yogurt. Spread the remaining lamb mixture over the yogurt. Brush the remaining 6 sheets of phyllo pastry with melted butter. Scrunch each sheet individually and place on top of the pie to completely cover. And then bake in a preheated oven for 40 minutes or until the pastry is golden brown and crispy. Now, there is an illustration here, and I think that's a great idea of crunching the pastry rather than trying to fit it on. And I think it looks actually really good. And I would do it exactly as that, scrunching it up each one.
Yeah.
And it gives it a nice sort of look on the top. And then, of course, lovely, you can cut it into squares and put it on your plate.
I tell you what, you've stepped in very nicely there. It's my turn to cook tonight. I was trying to think, oh, what can I do?
There you are. Yeah,
it's brilliant, these recipes you come up with, because I'm sure we've got some lamb mince, and I just need to check whether I've got any phyllo pastry, if I could get some on the way home.
Oh, right.
That you've solved my problem, Gail.
Right. Have you got parsley?
Yeah, we've got a bit of parsley in the garden.
Oh, good, 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 good. And you've got ghee, you said that, you keep in the back of the
fridge.
Yeah,
got everything else. Oh. This is the great thing about your...
Oh, that's great. I love the look of that. And, well, I'm not going to be... I'll be flying off very soon. And I thought I might make that when I come back, because it looks lovely. It looks really nice. But you'll have to just let me know.
Yes,
maybe via email how it turns out.
Yeah, that's definite for tonight, that one.
Okay. Okay, so you'll get another photo of that, listeners, because Peter's been doing a lot of baking, actually, at the moment, more than yours truly, because, I don't know, he seems to have got on a roll, and I haven't really done a lot just lately, but the one I did this morning, candy cookies, you know, it's just... a nice easy one, and I thought, well, I have to do something because Peter will arrive with something. So I quickly did these, and the cookie is really a little bit like a shortbread, to be quite honest. And these will keep in an airtight container. But the illustration, which I'm going to show Peter first before I talk about it, because I had a little bit of, nothing wrong. The dough was fabulous, but see how they've got those lovely little... boiled sweets, apparently, on the top.
Yeah, that's very neat,
and,
isn't it?
And they look really lovely. So I'm going to give you the recipe right now. 220 grams of butter at room temperature, 3/4 cup of caster sugar. I actually got out normal sugar, and then I thought, read it again. Oh, caster sugar, back in the normal sugar tin, and got out caster sugar.
Do
because
read
it's
these
finer.
Recipes very carefully.
Yes, yes, Peter, you've learned. Yeah. Well, actually, I know what I've done in the past. I've actually got normal sugar and whizzed it, and that refines it a bit. So down to caster sugar, because caster sugar is just not so well, it's not powder, but it's tending it's to be a lot fine, lighter.
Mm.
Yeah. And so I've 3/4 cup of caster sugar, 2 cups of plain flour, and it says 2 little jars of small boiled sweets, 55-gram jars. But I don't often look at boiled sweets. In fact, what did I I had some blimmin'. I did have some boiled sweets in the cupboard. But anyway, I'm going to look in the supermarket because I'm going to make these again because I want them to look pretty. And basically look for some boiled sweets. And all I could think of this morning was black balls. And then I thought, that's not going to look very good on a biscuit, is it? It's going to look worse than, you know, the melted ones that I used. But anyway, diversing. Using an electric mixer, beat butter and sugar in a medium bowl until light and creamy, which I did do. I left it running. Transfer mixture into a large bowl and stir in the sifted flour. Knead dough on a lightly floured surface for 30 seconds. Well, that's basically what it was for me, or until smooth. I just, you know, it just rolled and came into a ball really lovely. And then I wrapped it in, I flattened it into 2 discs, like I'm going to tell you. And then I wrapped it with baking paper and put it in the fridge for 30 minutes. But in my case, it was probably about 15 minutes. And then I preheated the oven to 180 degrees Celsius and greased and lined a baking tray. But I actually put baking paper on it. And then I rolled each dough portion between the sheets of the baking paper that I'd wrapped it up into and put into the fridge. And I just got out my big, beautiful wooden rolling pin and did that. Then found a glass, which was about the size of a cutter. And then I just cut them out. And then I found I had some jelly beans and I had some little gummy bears. And I thought, oh, I'm going to make them look pretty. So I put the gummy bear right in the middle because I thought he'd keep his shape. That was a bit of a joke. Why didn't I think about that? He melted. And, of course, so did the jelly beans. So it just looked like, melted all over the top of the biscuit. But I'm going to tell you, I think they're going to taste good because I think the top is like toffee.
I think they might pull your teeth out. But
oh, okay. Please don't email me that. I'll feel guilty. But anyway, normally, if you've got boiled sweets, you just sprinkle boiled sweets over the cookies, and they must be small ones because they look quite small, and honestly, bake for 12 minutes, and that's truly, bake for 12 minutes, because I heard the timer go off, and I thought, whoa, I better go out and look at those straight away, and I did take them out then, because they get firmer on sitting. So there you are.
Right, okay. Well, I did refer to the Great British Bake Off at the beginning of the programme and Paul Hollywood,
yes.
And you said you don't watch it at all. But on there, it's competition. Yeah, sometimes they do these silly things where they try and construct houses and things out of sheets of
like
biscuit.
Dough. Yeah, biscuit dough.
Biscuit
yeah.
dough. And if they want windows, this is what they do. They put a hole in. On the baking sheet, and then they put, but it is a boiled sweet,
wow.
a hard boiled
well,
sweet.
Well, that's interesting,
not a gummy
because
bear.
I thought I could substitute, but there you are.
And it does work, you know, they just melt and go solid, and you've got these stained glass windows in your pastry.
Well, I never. You said they're on a good salary.
Well, Paul Hollywood seems to be. Yes, money's, does all sorts of stuff, you know. So.
Yeah. Right. Well,
I don't see us catching up with him anyway.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he'll attempt to do a house.
You have to come up with recipes as well. They have to, but he's a baker fundamentally. He's a master baker, and that's what he's made his name on. But he's a bit of a handsome rogue, so
he's got appeal.
Got appeal.
Yeah.
This is why I do the radio.
Same him. I hope they don't even think of videoing us. God.
Yeah. Well, that's it then.
That's
very neatly on time and four nice things there. And as I said, I will definitely have a go at the lamb and yogurt pie. That sounds
that's great.
Really, really
yeah.
nice.
And I'm just looking very closely now. Do you remember the humbug sweet?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I'm sure these are humbugs. I just look closely.
We just want something that's solid all the way through. Probably.
Mm. Yes, okay. Right, just look closely at that.
Oh, there we are. So, you going away then?
Yes, I am. Yes, I'm getting on a plane.
And when do you go?
I'm leaving tomorrow.
And you're back in?
On 31st right. of July.
Well, don't worry, everybody, because we've mentioned last week, we've got a couple of programmes. They're sitting in the cupboard, all ready to come out, be dusted off,
yes.
And be as fresh as a daisy when we get them out. So Gail will be back as normal, week after week after week.
Yes.
And I'll be sitting next to her.
Yeah, and Peter will be there. Yes, you'll have a nice little break too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, you're having a great time, eh, Gail?
We look
forward to you coming back and hearing all about it.
I'm looking forward to the warmth.
Okay. All right, bye for now.
Bye. Bye.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.